Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip, Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If a home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town.
Thank you very much, Heather. So we're continuing to look at the passage we've been looking at the whole service, this idea of Jesus as the shepherd. And I wonder if you've noticed that we read quite a lot more on and stuff that wasn't directly linked to that, the sort of details of how they are going to do their mission. If you're a regular here, we're going to really look at that in detail on in our home group. So I'm still going to focus more on the first bit of the passage that we've been focused on for the rest of our service. But if you're interested in all those other details, our home groups will be getting into those details later on in the week. Now, when we go to London, one of the things that strikes me is just how crowded it is. You know, you get out at King's Cross, crowds of people. You go on the Underground, crowds of people. You get out wherever it is in London, and it feels like it's always got crowds. It's very exciting if you enjoy it, but also it can be a bit overwhelming. And one of the effects that of living in a big crowded place is that Londoners don't want to make eye contact. They want to be in their own little bubble of privacy. They don't want to say good morning to people as they pass because there are too many people to say good morning to. So here in the villages and North Stowe, you can probably walk around and occasionally catch people's eye and say hello. In London, people don't want to do that. And here in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is surrounded by crowds of people everywhere he goes. There are the curious, the hungry for knowledge, the desperate. And when he sees the crowds, he doesn't hide away from them. He doesn't say, I'm in my own personal space of serenity and I want to stay away from you people. The King of the universe is walking the towns and villages of Galilee and he hasn't got people fatigue. It's not that he can't be bothered when he sees this crowd coming to him. What we see in these verses is the heart of Jesus as he responds to the crowds of people gathering wherever he goes. What we see here is the heart of God. So we need to see Jesus as the good shepherd that we need. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We all have an image of God in our heads. Even if you don't believe in God, there's an image of the God you don't believe in your heads. And when we think about God, when we think about our image of God, I wonder, what do you imagine? Maybe it is a God who is far away in space. He's not even noticed the planet Earth, let alone the billions of humans on its surface. Or maybe a God who's sort of big brother, surveilling everything, looking out for where we've got things wrong. Or a God who sees the crowds and just feels disgust and boredom. Maybe the God we have in our minds is a joy thief who wants to stop us enjoying life. And of course, that God we want to hold at a distance. Because we've been trained to think of ourselves as independent, tough, resilient, resourceful, and we don't need a God who's just going to make life harder, getting in on the act. In a sense, our imaginations are that we are superheroes with great power. We don't need a distant or interfering God. But of course, when we're totally honest, we know that we're not superheroes. We're not strong enough to sort everything out by ourselves. We're frail and totally out of our depths. We're, to use the words of Matthew, harassed and helpless. At that moment we came home from hospital with our eldest child, we had that moment of just wondering, who on earth let us out with a baby? We're not grown up, we're not competent. Sometimes it's we're out of depth because we just don't know how to navigate our way through life. Sometimes we see our own misguided hearts wreck things and we just think, I'm not safe to be out. I just make such a mess of things. Sometimes disaster comes from outside, things that we're just not in control of, that sudden illness or accident, and we just realize we're not in control. We need someone greater than us to step in and help. In those moments, we need a hero. And the shepherd is a hero character. He's the guy who puts his body in the way between the flock and the wolf. And in Matthew 9, what we see is that God isn't this far-off, uninterested joy thief, but near and loving and joy-giving. Jesus is here so that we can see that God is the good shepherd. And when he sees the crowd, he doesn't see slaves or rivals or troublesome tasks or meaningless blobs. He has compassion on them. And that word compassion is a word of deep emotion. It's, I feel it in my gut. Jesus feels in his gut for their suffering and trouble. He loves them from the bottom of his heart. And this is the Creator God walking the earth so that we can see his heart and come to the shepherd that we need. All through the accounts of Jesus' life, we find this theme. He really puts others first. He really loves and gives of himself again and again and again and again. He heals and restores all who come to him. He lays down his life as his enemies kill him on the cross. He shows his power over death by rising on the third day. He really is the good shepherd that we need. Not someone who'll exploit us, but one who rescues us. Not someone who's distant, but one who feels compassion for us. So we need to see that Jesus is the good shepherd, and then we need to come to Jesus as the good shepherd. Because we have a choice. We can say, I don't belong to anyone's flock. I'm a tough guy, solo sheep. I've got the steering wheel of my life, and I'm not trusting it to anyone else. Not even God. But we know that in the end, that way leads to disaster, that we are just not tough and resourceful enough to get through death, even if we can manage life. Death robs us of our loved ones, and then it opens up its mouth to swallow us, and we have no defense. We need somebody who can take us through the valley of the shadow of death. And Jesus says, come and let me be your shepherd. Come and let me take away the heavy burdens of guilt and shame and inadequacy and worthlessness. Let me come and take your guilt for falling short of God's standards. Let me take away that which means you deserve to die and nail it to the cross. And then let me be your shepherd. I who have conquered death, I who rose on the third day, let me be the one who is your shepherd even through death so that you can have everlasting life. Be part of my flock. And so Jesus calls us, come. Come and be part of my flock. It might be the first time, it might be the thousandth time, but come again to me as your shepherd. Take your helpless and harassed self to me for wisdom, guidance, protection, healing, power, soul food. Come to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the one who has a heart of compassion for you this morning. And then join Jesus as Good Shepherd. It's not that we stop being sheep. We're still sheep when we become part of Jesus' flock. But Jesus says we should be sharing what we have. And actually, human beings are natural sharers when we find good things. You know, you watch a great film, you don't just want to keep it to yourself, you want to tell everyone, that was a great film, you should watch it. You find a great holiday, let me tell everyone about it, and you should go there too. We share things with people we love. We take pleasure in sharing the things we love with people we love. And Jesus says, if you've come to know me, you've got something worth sharing. share it with those you love. Now, if you look at Matthew 10, there are some things that tell us this is very specific to that time and place. So verse 1, Jesus gave his 12 disciples authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. And we just have to say, we're not the 12 apostles. We don't have a guarantee that when we pray for people, they'll get better. In verse 5, Jesus says, don't go to the Gentiles or enter any towns of the Samaritans. Well, we are all Gentiles. We're all non-Jews. And yet, the good news of Jesus has come to us. This is for a particular time and place. And we're going to think more about why that is in our home groups on Wednesday and Thursday. But just skimming over the message, let me just pick out 5 things about how we join Jesus in his mission as a good shepherd. Firstly, we pray. Jesus says, the first thing we should do is ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Then we speak. Verse 7, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Because people need to hear about Jesus, this good shepherd, the king who has compassion, the God who wants to gather us home. We speak what we've come to know. We share what we've come to know. Verse 8 is a bit trickier. It does say, heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And we can pray for all those things, but I've got no guarantee that my prayers would be answered in these areas. But perhaps if we look at it as acting and showing the kingdom, we can at least all love and show the love of God in the situations God's put us. Then, fourthly, human weakness but divine power. Verse 9, again, this is specific to the time. There's some reasons why we might not always apply this. But notice, Jesus sends out his disciples in human weakness. Don't take any money with you. Don't take any extra supplies. You're not going out with loads of money to bribe people to become Christians. You're going out with nothing so that you're totally dependent. The only thing you can offer is the good news of the gospel and see if the power of God does something. And that's perhaps helpful for us who are thinking, I don't have anything to offer. I can't share. I'm such a mess. I'm so weak. I'm so foolish. Well, Jesus says, that's fine. Human weakness is how you share the good news. And finally, expect varied responses. Jesus says, you don't wait until you've worked out whether people are going to be good sheep for the flock or not. He says, go and give your peace to everybody and then see what they do with it. Share the message with everybody, see what they do with it. Go to towns expecting to share, expecting some to reject you, some to accept you, but you just share it with everybody because you're not responsible for their response. You're responsible for letting them know the good news. So we join Jesus in his mission as good shepherd if we've come to know him. Now, it might be you're thinking, I'm a long way off coming to trust Jesus. This is all really strange. Can I encourage you to explore more about Jesus? We'd love to help you, whether that's reading the Bible with you, giving you a book to read. We also have a Christianity Explored course that you could come and ask your questions and hear more about Jesus. For those who are in Jesus' flock, remember that being with Jesus, having Jesus as your shepherd is great news. Because it's only as we actually are really thrilled by good news that we share it with others. If a film is just so-so, we don't tell everyone they need to go and see it. If it's a great film, we tell everyone. Do we remember that Jesus being our shepherd is a great film, great good news? And therefore, we would be willing to share his love and share the good news about Jesus with others.